Begat. So what is the word begat? Begat, I think, means it means physically. Okay, let's see. Okay, let's see. So let's see what Rashi. Rashi over here says, Ve'ela told us Yitzchak. So Rashi obviously is disturbed with the repetition. Really, we'll see the Targum moment. Ve'ela told us Yitzchak ben Avraham. And then it goes on to say, this repetition, the pasuk repeats itself twice. It repeats the fact that Yitzchak is ben Avraham. And then it says, Avraham is hoilid as Yitzchak. There's too much repetition here. So Rashi right away says, Ve'ela, these are the toldos of Yitzchak, period. Yaakov ve'esav who are murim b'parsh. It's a very famous Rashi. I guess because the first Rashi of the parsha, that's why it's famous. Everyone likes to talk about the beginning of the parsha. Yaakov and Esav, which are murim, which are mentioned in this parsha. Okay, we'll see. Avraham hoilid es Yitzchak. La'achar shekara HaKadosh Baruch Hu shemoy Avraham. Achar kach hoilid es Yitzchak. So Rashi's first pshat, very, very out of the box, perish, is it's Avraham, not Avram. It's because the truth is, it's not just Avraham did not just give birth to Yitzchak. Avraham also gave birth to Yishmael. So why do we omit, why do we not make mention that Avraham is the father of Yishmael? The answer is because when we call Avraham, when he gave birth to Yishmael, his name was not Avraham, his name was Avram. So here Rashi comes to emphasize the reason why we only make mention of Yitzchak as his progeny is because here his name is Avraham. That's number one. Number two, Dover Acher. Al Yidei Shekosav Akosuf Yitzchak ben Avraham. This that we first mentioned at Yitzchak in the beginning of the pasuk, it says, Ve'ele toldois Yitzchak ben Avraham. After we make mention that Yitzchak is the child of Avraham, we then, Rashi says, Al Yidei Shekosav Akosuf Yitzchak ben Avraham, whose kak loimar, it's necessary to state Avraham hoilides Yitzchak lefi. Now here we go into another big controversy of the day. Shahayu leitzane hadar oimrim. The leitzane hadar. Leitzane is a very powerful word. Leitzane hadar. Who are the leitzane hadar in our generation? Every door has leitzane hadar. People who belittle. Oimrim, they would say, me avimelech nis'abra sara. That Sara Imenu became pregnant from Avimelech, not from Avraham. Why is that so? Remember that Sara was abducted, was taken hostage twice, by Paro, and then later by Avimelech. And not that long after she was with Avimelech, she conceived. So people would say, Me Avimelech, because she was married to Avraham for 90 years. Not 90 years, she was 90 years old. She was married to him maybe even for 70 years, and she did not conceive, and now suddenly she's with Avimelech, and not long after that she conceived. She was together with him. She did not become pregnant from him. Period. That's what they said. So therefore, Mo Oso HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Tzar, he formed, Kilaster Panav, and that's a very interesting word, the features of the face, Shel Yitzchak, Doime LaAvraham, Veheidu HaKol, everyone said testimony, SheAvraham Hoilides Yitzchak, it was Avraham and not Avimelech, Vezeru SheKosav Kan Yitzchak, was Ben Avraham. How do we know Yitzchak was Ben Avraham? Shaharei Eidus Yesh Shavraham Hoylid Es Yitzchak. Rashi is very verbose, very elaborate, and let's now go back to the pasuk again to we review all of the principles which are going to become very relevant when we learn the Targum. But we're starting over here with again the Eile Toldos Yitzchak Ben Avraham. These are the toldos of Yitzchak ben Avraham, which really alludes to what we're going through in the parsha, Yaakov and Esav. Okay, it says here Yitzchak ben Avraham, And then it goes on to say, Avraham Olinasi. It's like the first interpretation is that only after his name was changed to Avraham did he give birth to Yitzhak. Okay, and the second interpretation is, how do we know that Yitzhak is indeed the son of Avraham, not that Yitzhak is the son of Avimelech? It's because everyone said testimony, there was testimony that it's indeed Avraham hoylides Yitzhak, because Yitzhak looked like Avraham, which is interesting. Now, we'll leave it with that for the moment. Let's take a look over here at the Targum. The Targum says, V'ilein, these are the toldos, Yitzchak bar Avraham. Avraham oyleid yos Yitzchak. Doesn't here say very much. And indeed, there's absolutely no commentary over here in the Ma'atzari explaining the Targum, which is very unusual. Which means that Rashi, if you just take the words of Rashi, Rashi is not really coming to argue. He's not coming to argue or elaborate upon what it says in the Targum. All right, so we'll leave that for now. Let's go further. Maybe we'll see more things as we go further. Vayhi Yitzchak ben Arboim Shon. He was 40 years old when he took Rivka. Who was Rivka? She was the daughter of Bas Pesuel Ho'arami. And she came to Padan Aram, the name of a place. And she was Achois Lavan Harami. She was the sister of Lavan Harami. And Yitzchak, this goes back on Yitzchak, Lo, he took her to himself, Leisha, as a wife. Now, if you'll ask, so this is Stam Josh, which is really not our purpose of our share, is, was it really Yitzchak who married, who took her? And we have a whole parasha last week telling us how the Shidduch came about. It was through Eliezer, Hashkocha Pratis, and here Yitzchak attributes it's to his own doing. I did it. Yitzchak took her. He was 40 years old. Now it's time to get married. And he took her. He took. The Shidduch was arranged in a very elaborate way through Hashkocha Pratis, through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and through Eliezer, and through Avraham, and through the whole story with Lavan and Mesuel, and Rivka herself says, I want to go, I want to marry him. And yet, this man thinks he is the one who made the Shidduch. That's the story of life, especially when it comes to Shidduchim. You think you're making a decision who you marry? You think it's Bekachtoi es Rivka? Yitzchak thinks it was Bekachtoi es Rivka? Really? You think it was your decision? You took her? You made all the decisions? Go back to the records. Go back to Parshas Chayei Sarah and learn about the elaborate story of where HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avraham Avinu and Eliezer and Besuel and Lavan and the drama that played out. What went into bringing about this Shidduch?
But it's very important that he uses the Eloshim Kicha.
Yeah.
Eliezer and Avram could not be Mekadosh a woman, Shaloy Midatoy. From here you will learn that Yitzchak had a new...
Of course, he's an adult.
He agreed to it.
Of course, but hey, that's a technical answer. But
that's what Kicha means. It proves here that no matter how many Shalkanim were involved, the guy who gets the girl is...
Okay, but okay, but the impression. Okay, but the impression on a very simple. You're delving into all the halachic terms. Kicha, Mistei Ephraim, but from a very simple point of view, if you would just have this pasuk alone, and there would not be Parshas Chayei Sarah. Look, we don't know anything how Avraham met Sarah. We know nothing, zero. How did they meet? Was there a shatran? Did they meet at a singles event? Were they neighbors? Were they cousins? I mean, how did it come about? Nothing, zero zilch. When it comes
like
to
Rambam says,
what?
You see a woman you like, or you take.
So how? Where did he meet her? How? Where did he see? He saw her in shul. He saw her. He met her at a singles event.
She was a niece of his.
So what? A niece on the other end of the world. You have a long lost cousin on the other end of the world. How do they even know of each other? And usually, usually familiarity breeds contempt. The people that you know, the next door neighbors, your cousins, you don't even want them. You want to go to the hecher fenster. You always want something better and different. We know nothing. So over here, if we would not have Parshas Chaye Sara, we would read this pasuk. Oh yeah, very nice, very nice. Somehow, Yitzchak made a decision. It's time to get married. He goes out. He finds a girl. Oh, it's my decision. That's what we would think, right? That's what this pasuk says. He was 40 years old. Bekach toyes Rivka. He took her. And who is she? Bas Mesulah. I'm gonna host. No. Excuse me here. There's a whole parsha. Parshas Chaye Sara. And Parshas Chaye Sara teaches us that you had absolutely nothing to do with this. Me Hashem Yotzo Hadovar. Le'uchal ledaber toivar ra'ay toiv. Everyone, hands down. Eliezer comes to the world, he's mispalel. Ve'ish mishto elo macharish. Lodas. Should I do this? And then Lavan and Besuel said, Me Hashem Yotzo Hadovar. They asked Rivka, Rivka, you want to go with this man? That timer Eilich, yeah, I want to go. So basically, Yitzchak has nothing to do with this. It was Hashem, it was Avraham, it was Eliezer, it was Lavan, Besuel, and Rivka. And you, Yitzchak, have nothing to do with this. And yet here, he's taking all the credit. All the credit goes to me. I masterminded the whole thing. Because this is exactly the story of every man's marriage. Every man, he thinks that he had what to do, that he was involved in his shidduch. Every man thinks, just like Yitzchak, Vahi Yitzchak, ben Abraham Shem, bekachto Yisrivka, and they all say, yeah, you think, good for you. You're a fool. You know how your shidduch came about? Me Hashem Yotzo Hadovar, Le'uchal Ledaber Ra Oitoiv. It's a Musa Haskel. Okay, that's not the purpose I was sharing. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasukhov, Ben Arboim Shana, an old bachelor, 40 years old today, forget it. Sharei Kishabot, now here he goes to a calculation. Okay, we have to go with this calculation. I'm not too good with math, but let's go to the calculation very quickly. Ben Arboim Shana, Sharei, how do we know he was 40 years old? Sharei Kishabot, Avraham Nehar Hamariah, Nispaser Shenolda Rivka. Rivka was born. Rivka was born when he came back, when he returned back from Har Moriah, the Yitzchak Hoya ben Lamed Zayin Shana. We know that Yitzchak at the Akedah was 37 years old. How do you know that? Sharei Boiba Perik Mesa Sarah. How do we know that? Sarah died. That's the first Rashi in Parshas Chaye Sarah. That through the being informed of the Akedah, Parcha Nishmasa. Umishenolad Yitzchak. Ad Hoakeda Shemesa Sarah Lamid Zayin Shana. How do you know that? How do you know it was 37 years old from the time that Sarah gave birth until the Akedah? Very simple. The Bas Sadi Hoy. So this is very easy. Because Sarah was 90 years old when she gave birth to Yitzhak. She said, Habas Tishim Shana. Tay late. She was 90 years old. Ubas, how old was she when she died? The pasuk says explicitly she was 127 years old. Ubas kuf chav zayin kishemesa when she died. Sharei shenema vehi chaye sada harel yitzchak lamid zayin shem 37 years. Uboi ba perek nolda rivka. And at the akedah, the moment it says kishaba, after the akedah she was born. Himtin la ad shetiru libia. Gimel Shanim Vinisis. He waited until she was 3 years old to be eligible for marriage. Vinasa. Now that's very, very little disturbing for us. A girl 3 years old, that means the entire story in Parshas Chaye Sara took place when she was 3 years old. Really? She was out there at the well drawing water for the family, and this man comes and she gives him to drink, and she drinks with the camels, and she's held to the highest standard of accountability with regard to MS and Chesed. Okay, obviously this is something which is very, very difficult for us to understand. That is a given. However, we have Emunah's Chachamim, that in the time of the Avos, people matured. They matured at a much greater rate than today. Today, until a person, you would expect what happened with Rivka could not possibly happen today in modern times, probably at least until a girl is a teenager. At least a teenager, at least 10 years old. Maybe, at least 10 years old. If you would ask a person what's the youngest age you can expect a girl to behave the way Rivka behaved in last week's parasha. I don't know, what would people tell you? They'll tell you 10 years old, the earliest, at the earliest. Okay,
now, I remember seeing Arab kids in Yerushalayim at the age of 3-4, they were running a business, sitting at the
bottom. Really, 3-4 years old running a business? Okay, I don't know. I don't know the answer. One thing I do know is that not everyone...
In families today with a three or four-year-old is diapering the baby?
I don't know. I do know, I cannot tell you, I don't have in front of you all the source, but I can tell you is that not everyone agrees to this Rashi. Rashi over here is telling us that this is a tradition. This is all based upon the fact that umishinolad Yitzchak, that she was born, shenolda nispaser, shenolda Rivka. How do we know that? How do we know that at the moment of the Akedah, we know for sure, it's a given that Yitzchak was 37 years old, that we know for sure. But how do we know that Rivka was born the moment after the Akedah was over? That is only tradition. This, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, is subject to dispute. There are different conflicting Mamari Chazal, Midrashim, which tell us other things, other opinions, that she already was born. Or even if you want to go take this idea that is mentioned, that is mentioned by Rashi, 3 years old. What does it mean? What does it mean exactly 3 years old? Does it mean she was literally 3 years old, or it was 3 years old since she made a decision in her life to go in a certain way? We know that a gershon is skayer kikaton shenel adami, and there are examples of calculating an age of a person not based upon their biological age, but based upon a moment in time in their life when they make a decision of a life changing decision. So even though it says in the Medrash she was born, it does not necessarily have to mean only exclusively that she was physically born. It can mean maybe she was bas mitzvah. It means something happened. All right, but we'll leave it with Rashi. Rashi says this is tradition. Rashi ein mikra yotze midei pshutoi. Rashi says something very fascinating that she was 3 years old. Fine. Bas besuel mipadaram achles lavan v'yadai le'nichtav she bas besuel. What is the pasuk telling us? Do we not know that she was the daughter of besuel? But that's the whole parsha chayei sarah. We know this in utter detail. Don't we know this already? We know who her father was. We know who her brother was. We know where she came from. Ella lahagit shvacha. Here we're coming to tell. We're coming here. The pasuk is coming to give praise. Shevach. The Torah sees fit to give praise for the record. Who was this woman that he married? The teach give you praise. Lahagit shvacha shachay shachaysa bas rosha. Vachoys rosha. Umekoyma anshe resha. She did not learn from the evil ways. That's quite, Rashi over here is very powerful. Rashi used the word Russia. That's a scary thing. Not like today we throw around words. Her father was a Russia. She was the brother of a Russia. And she came from Anshe Resha, place of wicked people. How do we know her father was a Russia? What do we find Besuel doing that indicates that he was a Russia? It's not so simple. Lavan, we learn, let's say later on in his life, he did a lot of very evil things. Okay, so it's okay. It's not for now, but right now Rashi over here says quite a bit of information. Next, Mipadan. Why is it called Padan Aram? Padan means a team. It literally means a double. Aram al shem sheshnei Aram hayu. There are two Arams, two locations in the world. There's Aram Naharayim, and there's the Aram Tzoiva. Aram Tzoiva we refer to today as the north. We refer to Aram Tzoiva as Lebanon, Syria. Well, Syria is not really. Okay, I take that back. But Aram Tzoiva, we refer to Aram Tzoiva as the northern part of Eretz Yisrael. Aram Naharayim, I'm not sure. Kore Oisoi, so it's not really so clear what we're referring to. Kore Oisoi Padan. L'shoin tzemed bokor, a team of oxen. What is the targum of the word tzemed? Tzemed means a team. They work in as a pair of oxen. Padan toirin, a team, a pair of oxen. So therefore, the reason why it's called Lipadan Aram, we are describing a very, very large area of land. A very large area of land, Aram Tzoiva and Aram Naharayim. And we're calling them together Padan, and it's teaching you there was an alliance. It's not just...
I think they refer to Aleppo, Jews from
Syria. Syria is Aram Tzoiva. The codex of the Aram Tzoiva. Okay, the Syria, correct. Now, it's teaching you something very important. It's teaching you over here is that these two Arams, just like a Padan, an axon, they work together. If one goes one way, the other goes the other way, they're not going to be able to accomplish. They have to work as a team. So to these two locations, this is a very important point, because when we study Aram Naharayim, Aram Tzoiva, and understand their contribution to society, they worked together. Toiv Shnayim Min Ho'echad. Everyone is limited in what they can do, but when you have a team of people working together, you can accomplish much more. These two nations, they participated together to accomplish things. Okay, let's go further. V'yesh poishim padan aram k'moy sedei aram. Some say no. It means a field. Padan is a sode. Shebeloshim yishmoel karin las sode padan. That means that it's a word. It's an Arabic word. Okay, Lashon Yishmael has entered into the Torah. Padan Aram. Let's see the Targum. V'hava Yitzchak bar Arba'in Shin. Yitzchak was 40 years old. Kad when? Nesev, he married. Now the word Nesev means he took. Doesn't mean to marry. Means to take. Yos Rivka bas Besuel Aramo'o. Mi padan aram, achosei the sister de lavon aramoa, lay to him leitu as a wife, loy leisha. Now let's take a look over here at the word, let's look at the parish. Kad nesef, loy tergim bimisve. Now here is, bimisve means to marry. Okay, the word nesef means to take. B'misbe eloki ilu loshna kosev kasher lokach. Lokach means to take, like an acquisition, like you go buy a loaf of bread. You go into the bakery, you purchase a loaf, you buy some lumber, or a piece of wood. V'chein derech targuma k'mo shetergim l'kamon b'ledes kad yiledas v'oid ayim ashkosev l'el. So he's saying over here an important word. Avraham was 40 years old b'kachtoy es Rivka. Lokach. Okay, it's a very coarse word. Now here in the Rashi maybe is coming to give an explanation of what that means. I believe he's saying something very important, Targum. When you talk about marriage, in our world, 21st century, you think about romance, you think about Hollywood, you think about all of these make-believe, right, fantasy worlds. It could not possibly be, according to Rashi's understanding, that any of that existed when you're dealing with a girl who's 3 years old. You're dealing with literally raw material. A girl who's 3 years old is not knowledgeable in any of these things. There's no one to talk to. There's no one to have a conversation about, oh, what are your values in life? Tell me about your parents. Tell me about, you're dealing with, you're literally manufacturing a person to marry. That appears to explain why Rashi is coming to defend, in this case, the Targum. The Targum over here is extracting, is any romance from the marriage of Yitzhak and Rivka. When you go to Yaakov and Leah, Yaakov and Rachel, it says, dear Yaakov, he sees Rachel, he kisses her. Vayehav Yaakov, vayu b'yomav yomim achodim be'ahavosoy oisa. Okay, you're not going to find anything in Hollywood that comes anywhere close to that kind of a romance. What it says about Yaakov and Rachel. Nothing, you're not going to find anything even close to that. 7 years, like a slave. He works for a meshugana, a Rasha. Rashi calls him a Rasha. He works as a slave for a Rasha for 7 years because of his intense love for Rachel, and it was like nothing. Unbelievable. Where do you hear such things like this? Where do you see such things like this? And in fact, it doesn't say anywhere in the parash by Yitzchak that he had any love for her. It's only after he married her. Vayikach Yitzchak es Rivka, vayivieha el oil Sara, and then it says vayehoveha, only after they were married. But not in the beginning. Why not? You know why? Because she was an infant. There was no one to talk to. Here it says bikachtoi. So if not for the uncleless, what would you say? You would say, like we always say, listen, don't get caught up on words in Chumash. Because more often than not, words are symbolic, they are abstract. The translation depends on the context. And as Rav Meir said, the word bekachtoi is a halachic term, it's like a briska. Talking now, some days Rav Meir is like a Rebbe. Some days he's like a maskil. Some days he's like, today he's talking like a briska. Kicha, kicha, Mr. It's a din. It's a din kedushin. Kicha, kicha, Mr. Ephraim. It's a din. Gzeira shava. You give a kesef. Bekachtoi, right? It's a briska din. Okay, fine. That's one pshat. But the Targum doesn't do that. The Targum really makes it worse. The Targum says kad nisev. Nisev means when you buy, you take. It's the most mundane word you can possibly use for marriage. For anything. You go into the lumber store, I want to buy some nails. So kad nisev, you buy some nails. That's how you talk about marrying a woman? The nusach we use, mikudeshes. Ah, what does the word mikudeshes mean? Okay, a whole, but you know, there's a lot going on. No. He takes the word bekachtoi and he reduces it to the most mundane term you can possibly write. Kad nisev. He doesn't say b'misveh. The correct term that we would have expected the Targum to write is b'misveh, which means marriage. When he married. No. So Rashi possibly is very disturbed with the Targum. Maybe the Targum is right. What is the Targum doing when he says kad nisev? And you know what the answer is? You can't say the word b'misveh when you're dealing with an infant, when you're dealing with an adult. So then, when you marry, you know, what's the goal? What's the purpose of all this? Come together to build a bayis neman, to be a team, to accomplish, to achieve. There's a lot of depth in marriage. The word marriage, the word b'misveh, has a connotation of a lot more than just giving the tabas kedushin. And but the Targum, forget about that. No romance. Kad nisev. And the truth is, that's what it says in the pasuk. It says vayehoveha only came later on. Rashi comes to answer why it was like that, because she was 3 years old, and when you're dealing with a 3-year-old child, there is no romance. And he would have married her if he could when she was 1 day old. After the Akedah, something happened. The Akedah somehow inspired Yitzchak, I want to get married. You know, you don't know a person, you see this, you don't know the person, what all of a sudden happens in their life when they wake up one day, I want to get married. You don't know what happened, no one knows how a person's mind works, what is the trigger, what Hashem causes the person to see, to think, events that he experiences, that's the trigger. Some reason, there was the Akedah triggered this desire, okay, I'm getting married. Who is available? An infant, 1 day old baby, yep, that's who I want to marry. I want to marry raw material, and I'm going to develop that raw material in my life with her, whatever that means. She's only, but she can't. You can't go marry an infant. Okay, so we'll wait the bare minimum of time that legally you can get married. In halacha, the earliest theoretical time you can get married is 3 years old. It sounds to us very bizarre. I know it does. But legally, technically, that's how it is, 3 years old. So that's, but you can't say this rich term of nesev. That's why that does bekachtoi, nesev, doesn't say bemispei. Rashi here is coming to defend Onkelos. And Rashi says, you know why it was stama lekicha with no emotion and no, it's because, you know how old she was? She was 3. Why did Rashi get this whole Megillah? What's this whole Megillah here for? Who's interested in this whole Megillah? We'll figure this out. No. Rashi is telling us over here the reason why it says bekachtoi, why we use such a term which is so unromantic in this marriage. It became very good, it became very romantic later on. Vayehoveho, that was later on. But I believe this whole Megillah here, this whole Megillah's Esther over here, is to defend the words of the Pasuk, which are emphasized by Targum Onkelos. Okay, let's now go further. Now we go to the next words of the Pasuk in the Targum. The Targum over here said, Mi Padan. Rashi gave us another whole Megillah. What is Padan? A team, oxen. Oxen. What's a team? The Loi Kiyesh Oim Rashi. Now Rashi, he teased the Targum, says, Mi Padan Aram. So what's the loy kiryesh oimim barashi sheperish padan sode shemkein haver betargim chakal. So he's just pointing out over here is that the targum over here, that's what Rashi is doing. Now, you know, that's always our thesis in this shir. Rashi is writing a commentary on the targum, more or less. Targum says mi padan. Excuse me, if the word mi padan means a sode, beloshon yishmoel, then it's the duty of the uncle of Onkelos to translate the word sodeh. And the translation of the word sodeh is chakal. So we should say, Bisuel Aramo, Michakal Aram, from the field of Aram. The fact that he does not do that, he says Padan, it means something else. So that's why Rashi, in his first interpretation, defends Onkelos. Padan means a team of oxen, a team. And there are two Arams. There's an Aram, Tzav Aram Naharayim, Mi Padan Aram. And then Rash, that's why you got to call it Padan, because that's exactly what it means. In the second interpretation, he points out, you know, Targum, just because I've been very nice to you so far, I haven't come and attack you, don't get your hopes up. Now Rashi Kedarka goes on the offensive and says, by the way, who says you're right? Maybe Padan really means a Sodeh. You really should have translated the word Padan as Chakal. Okay, next. He took her as li'itu. Okay, it doesn't say li'ito. I thought it would say li'itu, li'itu. What does that mean? L'shem ishus. He took her l'shem ishus. Okay, he took her, lo li'isha, okay, li'itu. So I think what it means over here, what he's trying to say over here is the word li'itu does not mean a wife. He's saying something very, 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 very profound. He took her l'shem ishus. This follows what I told you before. He didn't take, she's not my wife. A wife has a connotation as a person, an entity, a princess, a person that this is my wife, you know, she's more choshev than me. You know, this is my wife. No. She's an object. I took her to the Mekayim, like the briskus, to the Mekayim, the mitzvah of getting married, peria urevia, l'ishus, this cheftza. She's an object which enables me to mekayim a mitzvah. Like the most bizarre type of way to look at marriage. But in this case, it's not a chesorin, because he's only 3 years old. You can't go say, oh, this is my wife. You're gonna display her. Look, you see who my wife is? Look at my wife. I want you to meet my wife. You never met such a person. There's no one to show. You're gonna show, you married a child? You're a criminal. What are you doing? You married a child? What's going on over here? That's right. I'm not showing her off. I took her l'shem Ishus. She is an object, like a stone, that through which I am being able to be mekayim the mitzvah de'oraisa of kiddushin. Later in life, she will turn into that person that everyone is seeking. This is my wife. This is the queen. This is the person that you have to reckon with. But now you can't say that about a child. So the targum over here is very precise. Lo li'isha li'itu. Doesn't say li'itisa. Li'itisa means a wife, which means this personality. There is competition. There is trouble. Ezer kinegdoi. Li'itu means you open up Shulchan Aruch, and it talks about this concept, like they tell Bachrim in Shaduchim, you have to get married, it's a mitzvah, do it l'shem Shemayim, l'shem mitzvah, all of these nuschois, doesn't import in who the girl is, it's all the same, you go out into the street, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, and that's how it goes. That's what Yitzchak did here, but Yitzchak did it for a different reason, because she was 3 years old. There's no one to talk to, there's no one home. Later, it developed into something much more sophisticated. So this, we have a whole incredible translation over here in the Targum, and it seems that Rashi is on the same page. Rashi over here really seems to go to town. You know, you don't have that too often, where Rashi appears to go to town to defend Unklus. That's a real person. Real person is when you write, you'll do everything in the world to defend him. And when he's wrong, you'll do everything in the world to destroy him. Okay? It goes both ways. When you have people that will do everything to destroy you, but will not lift a finger to help you when you're right, those people you don't want to be with. All right, let's go further. Pasuk Chof Aleph. Vayetar, right away we jump to trouble. Right away we come to Vayetar, to Davin. Vayetar Yitzhak Lashem Lenoichach Ishtoi. Lenoichach is a very hard word to translate. We'll see in a moment. He davened, he prayed to Hashem Lenoichach on behalf of his wife. Why? Ki Akarahi, she was childless. Vayosiloi Hashem listened to him. Vatahar Rivka Ishtoi. And she became pregnant. It doesn't say she gave birth. Okay, became pregnant. Process. All of a sudden, you notice, was slowing down. You know, in the beginning of the Torah, it's always Vatahar. It's always, oh, you got a problem. Results. Child is born. Someone davens, Vashem Pogad Esara. And what does it say? Vashem Pogad Esara. What the post says, and it says right away she gave birth. It doesn't tell us about what happened during the pregnancy period. Let me go back to Vayera. I'm forgetting everything. VaHashem is the first pasuk we learn on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, VaHashem Pokad Esar Kasher Marva Kasher Omar. Can't find it here. All right, let's go for it. We're going to talk a little later. Let's go for it. We're going to talk. Wait, Vayetar, these are the last of the Yaakov Vater, that's the last of the Yaakov Vater. Let's see Pasuk Chafal. Let's quickly finish up. Vayetar, Hirba Vehifzer Betfila. He increased with intensity. The word Vayetar is, there are many words. I believe there are 10 words. It says in the Medrash there are 10 unique words to describe prayer. And one of the 10 words is Vayetar. Atar, which means hirbe vehiftzir, increased. Hiftzir is a very hard word to translate. Increased, urged, to persuade. Betzvila, vayi oser loyda. This is a very scary Rashi. Okay, nispatzer v'nispayes v'nispatel loyda. Rashi over here says a few perushim on the word lo. First he says vayi oser loy. Nispatzer, v'nispayes v'nispato loy. What is Rashi over here saying? The word loy means Hashem responded. So this is an incredible, incredible Rashi that everyone just passes up. We always look at prayer from our perspective. Daven to Hashem, daven and daven and daven and daven, and we don't really have any. We don't really focus on Mamari Chazal, on insight in how does Hashem react to our tefillos. To most of us, it's either like binary, yes or no. Yidavin, 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 yidavin. The more kavana, the more intense your tefillos are, there's more of a chance Hashem will say yes. But sometimes Hashem knows that it's not good for us, so Hashem says no. We don't usually get a description of the torment that we put Hashem through when we dive into him and he has to say no. It's just yes or no. It's that simple. This is an incredible Rashi. Rashi over here is describing Hashem's reaction. This is written here from the perspective of Hashem. And Rashi says three things. Hashem goes through three different stages. It's not just yes, no. Hashem goes through a process. Number one, nispatzer. What does that word mean? It's a hard word to translate. I don't know. Hashem allows himself to be urged. He accepts the plea. Hashem's emotions build up, and he's persuaded. V'nispayes. He's appeased. What does that? What do we mean appeased? To appease Hashem? What does that mean? Which pius means there's anger. As a connotation, Hashem is angry. There is something holding Hashem back. And Hashem now has, after he is nispatzer, he is filled with this urging. He then says to himself, okay, you know what? The object, the reason that is holding me back, you know what, it's okay. Forget about it. V'nispatela, but that's not enough. And even after all of that, Hashem has to be almost seduced. What's the word v'nispate? That's a very strange word. It's usually used in reference to a man seducing a woman, or a woman seducing a man. V'nispate loy. And Hashem now allows the argument. Now, what's very bizarre is, it's almost like you would think that after we nispatzer v'nispayes, we're done. We're finished. No, you're not finished. You need to be mifatzer Hashem in order to achieve pius, and then you have to go in for the kill. And then you have to have the conversation, Hashem should be willing to accept your prayer. Now, and this is very, very deep. It's way over my head. But it's showing here that the Ribbono Shel Olam expects a three-step process in tefillah. We first have to be in a state of nispatzer. And then our nispatzer has to result in nispayes. And then we can first be mifateh Hashem to persuade him to give us what we want. And Avraham Avinu achieved that result. That's what it says. This is an incredible expression, Rashi. V'oimer ani, and then go in, he goes, v'oimer ani, kol loshen asar loshen haf tzara. He keeps on going back to that same word he said over here. Pei tzadi reish, v'ribui hu, v'chein v'asar anan ha-ketores, the cloud of the ketores increased. Marbis, it means to increase. Aliyas Hashem, the smoke increased. V'chein ha'asartem alei divrichem. Your words are numerous. Your words are too much. V'chein v'na'atoros nishikos soinei. The kisses of the enemy are abundant. Someone kisses you too much. you know they're trying to, they're really your enemy. They're trying, doimos limerubos, or this he explains, doimos limerubos, they seem to be a lot, vihinam lemasa. Okay, so we have to stop over here. But over here, Rashi over here is giving us a whole dissertation on the koich of tefillah and the unusual expression of ayesar, and he adds in something which I don't know where he gets this from the word lo vayeoser loy, because we only started with over here with one thing only, the hiftzir, and then Rashi says that although we do hiftzir, Hashem responds from his perspective. There are three things that are happening, nispayes and nispate. And we need a source. Where is Rashi getting this from to explain this concept from? All right, then we have to see the Targum. He understands the word Vitzali, which is a very big topic. And see over here, he has a whole entry over here, what it means over here, Tzali, why he chose to translate that way. Im Yirtz Hashem, tomorrow. Thank you very much for joining us. Have a wonderful evening.
Good night, everybody. You know, Rabbi Ephraim.
Yeah.